With thanksgiving, let your petitions be made known to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, today, when we remember Bishop Robert McKenna, who died yesterday, today is the feast day of Saint Lazarus, the friend of Jesus, brother of Martha and Mary Magdalene, and whom Jesus raised from the dead. And Saint Lazarus was also a bishop, the bishop in the island of Cyprus. Even today, Saint Lazarus is very popular saint in Cuba, and every December 17th, the faithful travel from every part of the country to visit the sanctuary of Saint Lazarus near Havana. It's a small Catholic hermitage placed next to a hospital for persons suffering from leprosy, and visitors take their offerings to that place and ask his intercession for themselves and their families, mainly in terms of health. On the streets of Havana, children, young people, and the elderly wear the symbolic garments made of a jute and purple fabrics in allusion to the saint said to protect one's health. Children, if you remember yesterday, I told you a little story how every Christian who has heard the great news of the birth of Jesus should always rejoice. You see that very well in today's Mass when we have our Gaudete, that is the Rejoice Mass from Sunday. Today, when we and many other faithful around the country mourn the loss of Bishop McKenna, I wanted to tell you about the saint who was in danger of falling into sadness because of her difficulties, but who regained her joy thanks to the spiritual counsel from her own bishop. She is named Saint Olympias, and she lived in Constantinople in the 4th century, which at that time was the capital of the Eastern Roman Empire. Saint Olympias was left orphan when she was a child and was still very young when she married a man named Nebridius, who was the treasurer of the emperor. But he died only 20 days after his marriage, and Saint Olympias was left as a widow. The emperor pressed her to marry again, but she declared that she wanted to remain the rest of her life unmarried, serving only Christ and his church. Her guardian, in order to persuade her to marry, knew how much Olympias loved to go to church and ordered her to stay home and not to see any priests or attend the Holy Mass. And finally, the emperor had to give in. So with great fervor, Saint Olympias embraced a life of penance and prayer. She fasted very severely and never ate any animal products whatsoever. Nowadays, those kinds of persons are called vegans. She stayed up praying so much that by the time staying awake became to her as natural as sleep is to others. She was so meek and humble that she seemed to have absolutely no will of her own. The modesty, simplicity, and sincerity from which she never departed in her conduct were a clear demonstration that God was the only thing she ever wanted. Even though she had been married to a high court status, she kept a simple and poor dress, modest apartment, and distributed her large property to the poor. But she had to suffer terribly during her life. The politics of the world, severe sicknesses and slanders and unjust persecutions succeeded one another in her life. And when Saint John Chrysostom was placed as the Bishop of Constantinople, he was also thrown into trouble when the Empress put a silver statue of herself near the cathedral. Saint John fiercely denounced the pagan dedication ceremonies and was banished from his see. Saint Olympias stayed faithful to her lawful bishop, and after his departure she had a great share in the persecution in which all Saint John's friends were involved. St. Olympias was called before the prefect of the city, who was a pagan, and she defended herself against the calumnies which were shamelessly alleged in court against her. But she assured and guaranteed that she would never recognize the intruder bishop who had been put in the place of St. John. She was punished by a heavy fine. Her goods were sold by public auction. She was often dragged before public tribunals. Her clothes were torn by the soldiers, her farms robbed. She was insulted by her own servants and even by those to whom she had always done nothing but good. It was during all these persecutions when she became sad. But St. John Chrysostom frequently encouraged and comforted her by letters gently rebuking her of her sadness. So she did not sink into depression, but saw her persecution as the will of God, and through St. John regained her full confidence and happiness in God under affliction, remembering that God is ready to supply every help to those who sincerely seek him. St. John Chrysostom ordered her especially to rejoice under her sicknesses, which he said she should place among her most precious crowns, in imitation of St. Lazarus. St. Olympias finally died under her sufferings, and even though she did not shed her blood, her friends in Christ readily compared her death to that of martyrdom, because by staying faithful to her true bishop, who never compromised even one tiny bit of his Catholic faith, she had to go through enormous amount of persecution and suffering. You should imitate her example, children, of course, in her humility and joyfulness in following of Jesus, but also in her fidelity to her bishops and priests. It is thanks to your own bishops and priests today that you are receiving body and blood of your Redeemer Jesus, and that you are strengthened by the holy sacrifice of the Mass, and you have your sins forgiven by these bishops and priests in the sacrament of penance. A great act of gratitude you can show for Jesus is to pray for his priests and bishops, because they also have to often go through enormous difficulties, even persecutions, because they stay faithful to the Catholic Church. If you still have catching up to do in your Advent resolutions, and it's not too late to make a new one, please show your gratitude to your loving Heavenly Father by praying for the departed soul of Bishop McKenna, of whom your own bishop and your own priests now pray as well. God bless you. In the name